The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Opening day eve, and welcome into the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Frank Stample joined by Scott White and Chris Towers. We've got a fun show planned. Let's call this our 2024 season preview. All of our fantasy drafts are done. Who are the players we've drafted most? There's so much talent in the game. Which players are we most excited to watch this season? Plus, we'll talk some player props, award predictions, and our World Series pick later on in the show. Let's jump right in. Look at you, Scott, studio all to yourself. I love it. Why don't you kick us off with the three players you've drafted most in your fantasy baseball leagues?
All right, Frank. I'm going to start here with Mike Trout. Now, I feel like the pushback on Mike Trout has been a little too much. I understand he's not a first rounder anymore, but he's dropping to like round, he was dropping to round like four or five back when people were drafting. And I think it's gone too far. He is injury prone. Last year, though, it was a broken hand that he missed time with, just a freak incident. And he was still very productive. He was still one of the top power hitters. You look back 2 years ago, 119 games, still hit 40 home runs in it. So even factoring in some of the time Mike Trout is going to miss with injury, it's still likely he delivers a stud outcome and potentially at a discount. At a position, by the way, outfield, where things thin out really fast. So I was happy to accept the discount in a lot of my drafts and go ahead and take Mike Trout for the big run RBI and home run production. Okay, Alex Bregman was another player I drafted a lot of, third baseman for the Astros, of course. And he was somebody who, first of all, in points leagues with the great plate discipline, you got guys like Rafael Devers at the position, Austin Riley. They don't have particularly good plate discipline, but Bregman does, and that made him just as good as those in that format, even though he was drafted later. And then if you're talking a Roto League, the run and RBI production in the round 7-8 range where you could get him, a big difference maker. Run and RBI production was something I paid extra attention to this year because I don't think it's necessarily true that just by balancing home runs and stolen bases, you're gonna do well with runs and RBI. Also, Vinny Pasquantino, Vinny P, baby. Right, a longtime favorite of mine. And even though last year was a disappointment for Vinny Pasquantino, it was because of a shoulder injury. And for the first 38 games, he did exactly what we wanted him to do. He had 298 with a 922 OPS. And then that's when, about the time the shoulder started bothering him, he tried to play through it for a while, exit velocities plummeted. It wasn't good. But he did what we wanted for those first 38 games. He's healthy now, and I think he'll get back to doing it again. He was a great value, drafted outside the top 150 this year.
Again, Scott's most drafted players there, Mike Trout, Alex Bregman, and Vinny Pasquantino. Chris, I did want to get you in here and talk a little bit about Mike Trout. Now, 32 years old, has not played more than 119 games since 2019. Do you think Trout has a bounce back season here in 2024?
Classic Chris move, muted myself during the podcast. Everybody who watches knows. Yeah, that's there are definitely some red flags in Mike Trout's profile. He's missed a lot of time over the past few years. He had that back injury 2 years ago. You all know about that. There have been some plate discipline changes. He's swinging and missing a lot more. The strikeout rate's gone up, but he's still an elite athlete, 96th percentile in sprint speed last season. I think, you know, under Ron Washington, the Angels might run a little bit more. They've certainly talked about it. So I could see not just a bounce back in terms of the staying healthy, which we hope he can, but also maybe we get 10, maybe we get 15 steals. He stole a base in spring training. That's not necessarily something we expect from Mike Trout in games that don't matter. So, yeah, I think as a third, fourth, fifth round price where you could get him in drafts this year, betting on a Mike Trout bounce back makes a ton of sense.
How about this? In spring training, the Angels had the second most steals as a team, 44 steals under new manager Ron Washington. So you might be onto something there. Hopefully they do run a little bit more this season. Chris, let's stick with you. Make sure that the mic is not muted and give me your three most drafted players in fantasy this season.
Nick Castellanos, Jaron Duran, and Ke'Bryan Hayes. We'll start with Nick Castellanos, who I don't know what this guy did to fantasy baseball players to justify an ADP outside of the top 100. When I drafted him in five of my 13 leagues. My ADP for him was 105.4, so I actually drafted him lower. He just kept falling, and I don't quite understand it. He had one down year in 2022, his first year with the Phillies. Other than that, this guy has been one of the best RBI sources at the outfield position. Pretty good bet for 30 home runs, hit 29 last year, 272, so he won't hurt you in batting average. He even stole 11 bases, which is kind of surprising. He's got 18 stolen bases over the past two seasons. So Nick Castellanos, five category contributor, if you can believe it. So I think he's just an underrated player. Jaron Duran, I love Jaron Duran. I'm so excited. There are some playing time concerns. It's a crowded outfield in Boston, especially with Rafaela making the roster. But they might play him in the infield a little bit. That would help Jaron Duran. But he's going to hit leadoff when he's in the lineup. I think he's going to be in the lineup much more often than not. He stole 12 bases in 36 games as a leadoff hitter. I think Jaron Duran legitimately has 20 homer, 40 stolen base upside. Could score a ton of runs in a very good Red Sox lineup. And then moving on to Ke'Bryan Hayes, who we've talked about him a lot over the past couple of seasons as someone who really talented player, hits the ball really hard, just didn't optimize his swing in the way that a lot of guys have over the past couple of seasons. Started to do that last season, came back from an injury, went down on a rehab assignment and started working on his swing, hit 10 homers in the final 2 months of the season, put the ball in the air 41.5% of the time, pulled it 34.5% of the time. That's what we want to see. Now, we don't have data from spring to cover all of Ke'Bryan Hayes' games, so it's hard to say exactly if he kept that up, but hit 412. Three homers, 1081 OPS, didn't strike out very much. I think he's a super talented player. I think 25 homers, 15 stolen bases is well within the realm of possibility for Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Yeah, I love the call on Ke'Bryan Hayes as well. He had a monster spring training, 412 batting average, three homers. The only thing I worry about is that according to Fangraphs, a 61% ground ball rate for Ke'Bryan Hayes this spring. So if he's going to tap into that power, we need more fly balls, especially to the pull side. Three players that I've been drafting most in fantasy leagues this year. Logan Webb is my most drafted player by far. I've often started my draft with three hitters, and then I usually snag Logan Webb as my SP1 in the fourth round. He doesn't have the gaudy strikeout rate, but he should provide quality innings and lots of them. He led baseball with 216 innings last year. He finished second in the National League Cy Young voting. He did have a rough spring, but he's a veteran. I'm not overly worried about that with Logan Webb. Seiya Suzuki, outfielder with the Cubs, usually get him in rounds 7 through 9 as my second outfielder. He's shown flashes of brilliance so far in his career, but he's yet to put it together over a full season. Over his final 47 games last year, he hit .356 with 11 home runs, a 1089 OPS. He hits the ball hard. He's got great plate discipline, and he's fast. Everything is there for a huge breakout season. Seiya Suzuki, who also had a huge spring. He hit .459 with 6 homers and 2 stolen bases. The last one, and Scott kind of joked to me, every mock draft or every real draft we've done, I select Wilson Contreras, catcher of the St. Louis Cardinals. Not to be confused with his brother in Milwaukee, but it was a weird first season in St. Louis for Wilson Contreras. He had some issues with the pitching staff, but he got hot. He wound up doing what he always does. He hit .264, 20 homers, 6 steals, an OPS over 800, which is really, really productive from a catcher in fantasy baseball league. So again, the three players, Wilson Contreras with the Cardinals, Seiya Suzuki with the Cubs, Logan Webb with the San Francisco Giants. Let's hit a break. We've got the players we're most excited to watch this season up next on Fantasy Baseball Today here on the CBS Sports Network. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. Welcome back into Fantasy Baseball Today. There's so much young talent in baseball right now. It could be overwhelming trying to figure out who to watch on a daily basis. Let's discuss the players we're most excited to watch this season. And Chris, why don't you get us started with three players you've got your eyes on heading into 2024?
Yeah, I responded to the email first, so I'm just going to take the most exciting players. O'Neill Cruz, Ellie De La Cruz, and Victor Scott. O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, if we were having like a punt, pass, and kick competition for Major League Baseball, these are probably the two guys that you would want on your team. Among infielders, none had a stronger arm than Ellie De La Cruz, averaged 95.9 miles per hour on his throws last season. In 2022, O'Neill Cruz had the strongest arm among all infielders, averaging 93.9 miles an hour. O'Neill Cruz, nobody in the StatCast era since 2015 has hit a baseball harder than O'Neill Cruz, who had 122.4 mile per hour hit as a rookie. Ellie De La Cruz last year, only 119.2 miles per hour. I think four players have hit a ball harder than that. Ho-hum. Ellie De La Cruz, arguably the fastest player in baseball. O'Neill Cruz as a rookie, he was 12th in average sprint speed. So these guys are just ridiculously, ludicrously tooled up. They've got some holes in their games for sure because they swing real hard. They hit the ball real hard. And yeah, they might strike out a little bit. But if you're focusing on that, you're missing the forest for the trees. These guys, they might in the same game steal two bases, hit a 460-foot home run, and maybe hit 98 miles per hour on the radar gun throwing over. And the thing about Victor Scott is, as fast and athletic as O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz are, Victor Scott might actually be faster. This is an outfield prospect for the Cardinals. It took three injuries to center fielders on their roster to get him up there. It's not because he's not talented. It's because the Cardinals wanted to make sure he was ready. He hasn't played at AAA, but man, 94 stolen bases last season, an 87% success rate. He even hit nine home runs. There's a little bit of pop there, 15% strikeout rate. This is a super talented player for fantasy, I think. Top 175 pick probably in any drafts that are remaining. Should be someone, if he's out there on your waiver wire, you go make sure you add him, because there's a chance that this guy leads the majors in stolen bases. There is 70 steal upside here if he sticks and could play gold glove level defense. I can't wait to watch him patrolling center field for the Cardinals as well.
I saw Victor Scott in the Arizona Fall League. This guy is a blur on the base paths. He is ridiculously fast. Every time he was on first base, he was looking to run. Even when he was on second base, he was looking to run. Lots of excitement around Victor Scott. Wide range of outcomes. He could be back in the minors in 2 weeks. He could lead baseball in stolen bases. So just keep that in mind with Victor Scott. Speaking of Scott, White, let's work you back in here. And Ellie De La Cruz, he's a very polarizing player. Chris and I drafted him on the team we shared last night in the second round. What are your expectations for Ellie De La Cruz this season?
Well, first of all, I do want to say Chris took the two right answers to this question in Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz. I don't know about I don't know about Victor Scott, 1980s called, they want their player back. But Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz hit the ball as hard as anybody. They are setting StatCast records this year for sure. Ellie De La Cruz, I feel like, has the higher floor of the two because that stolen base upside is so significant, because he might deliver something like 40, 50, maybe even 60 stolen bases, even if he's struggling to hit like he did in the second half because the strikeouts are too high. And if he cuts down on those strikeouts a little, he raises the launch angle a little. I mean, we're talking massive power as hard as he hits the ball. Maybe somebody you're drafting in round one next year. So I think Ellie De La Cruz, I understand the concerns about the batting average, but there's enough there that I think if he can feel really confident he's going to deliver a high-end fantasy outcome.
Scott, let's stick with you here. The three players you are most excited to watch here in 2024.
The three, this is the B team, obviously, because of who Chris chose, but I'm going to go with Cole Reagans of the Royals. Apparently, I'm a big Royals fan. I don't know. Cole Reagans, he was throwing the ball much harder, like 4 miles per hour harder from the beginning last season out of the Rangers bullpen. He got traded to the Royals in the Aroldis Chapman deal, spent some time in the minors, worked a slider into his arsenal, came back in August in the rotation, had a 270 ERA, 11.6 K per nine. His fastball was peaking at 101. And that slider turned into his best swing and miss pitch, really rounded out his arsenal so that he got a lot of strikeouts. Also here, I got Tristan Casas and Jackson Chourio. We'll start with Casas of the Red Sox. 305 from July 1st on, 305 batting average, a 996 OPS. This is a disciplined hitter. This is somebody who, a left-handed hitter who lives to the opposite field, great power opposite way. Seems like a great fit for Fenway Park, right? I think based on what we saw from Tristan Casas in the second half, you know, his line drive rates, his opposite field rates, I see like Freddie Freeman upside here from Tristan Casas. Very exciting player and somebody I wish I drafted a lot more of, but it seems like everybody was on to him in drafts this year. Finally, Jackson Chourio, rookie for the Brewers. Top prospect, consensus top three no matter what rankings you're looking at. Power guy, speed guy. You look at the numbers in the minors last year, 282 batting average, 22 homers, 44 steals. That's great. Here's what people miss on Jackson Chourio, though. The first half of that season in the Southern League, AA, they were experimenting with a tacky baseball. Pitchers were getting incredible spin. Strikeout rates were way up across the league. Nobody could hit. Once they ditched that in the Southern League in the second half, Jackson Chourio hit 324 with a 917 OPS. His strikeout rate, 13.4%. It would have been the eighth best mark in the majors if he had done that. Not saying he's going to strike out 13.4% as a rookie, but this isn't an Ellie De La Cruz situation. Jackson Chourio is going to make enough contact to get to his skill set, to get to his power, to get on base, to deliver some steals. I think there's a potential Julio Rodriguez-type rookie season here for Jackson Chourio.
Jackson Chourio, as you mentioned, Scott, the top outfield prospect with the Brewers. He is 20 years old, which is crazy to think about, but he signed a record-setting 8-year extension this offseason. He brought up the numbers, 282 batting average, 22 homers, 44 steals. We're looking at a potential massive season here from the rookie, Jackson Chourio. Speaking of rookies, the players that I'm most excited to watch this year, the rich get richer. You see the hat? The Texas Rangers. They won the World Series last year. Now they're adding one of the top prospects in all of baseball to their opening day roster, Wyatt Langford. He was just drafted last year. He crushed every level of the minors. Then he showed up this spring, and he did the same exact thing. He hit 365, six homers, and 1137 OPS. Sounds like he'll mostly DH, but will rotate into the outfield as well for Texas. I think he'll hit for some batting average. He's got big power, adds a little bit of speed as well. The two other names on this list, we have starting pitchers Tarek Skubal of the Tigers and Yoshinobu Yamamoto with the Dodgers. On Skubal, among starting pitchers with at least 80 innings last season, Skubal ranked 5th in ERA, 6th in K per 9, 2nd in K minus walk rate, and 6th in swinging strike rate. So he gets lots of strikeouts. That's what you need to know with Tarek Skubal. He gets ground balls, has great command. He limits hard contact. Last year, he averaged 96 miles per hour from the left-hand side. Showed up this spring. He's hitting 97, 98 miles per hour with that fastball. Watch out for the Detroit Tigers this year. They have lots of young and exciting starting pitchers. Last but not least, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mentioned the name. He signed with the Dodgers this offseason and landed the largest contract ever for a starting pitcher, 12 years, $325 million. He had a rough first start against the Padres in Korea, but let's look at the resume here. He won Japan's version of the Cy Young Award and their league MVP 3 years in a row. He's only 25 years old. He throws in the mid-90s with the fastball. He has a wipeout splitter, great control. Chris, I did want to ask you on Yamamoto because it feels like maybe after seeing that first start, some of these rough spring outings, there has been a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of pullback here on Yamamoto. Are you worried at all about with what we've seen so far from Yoshinobu Yamamoto?
I mean, you throw in at all. And yes, at all. Yeah, there's a little bit of worry there. How could there not be? His last three starts in spring, his first start of the actual season, did not go great. The Korea start, everyone seemed to be struggling with their command. Tyler Glasnow was bouncing all of his curveballs. Joe Musgrove had a couple of walks. So I can't say I'm too worried there. But yeah, there might be an adjustment period. Remember, Kodai Senga made the jump from Japan last year, and it took him until about June. Once he figured it out, Kodai Senga was really, really good, was a top 12 starting pitcher in fantasy, arguably. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was an adjustment period. And maybe the way to view Yamamoto is, if he's not on your team right now, maybe you start putting some offers in May if the ERA is above 4, because I do think the talent level, the stuff is legitimate ace level quality. It just might take a little bit to get there.
All right, let's hit another break. Up next, we have some fantasy questions. What to watch for early in the season? This is Fantasy Baseball Today on the CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Fantasy Baseball Today with Frank, Scott, and Chris. A lot has happened this spring, which means we have questions early on in the season, specifically ones that will affect us in fantasy baseball. Let's talk about the aforementioned Wyatt Langford, one of the top prospects in the game, will be up on opening day with the Texas Rangers, flying up fantasy baseball draft boards as high as the fifth or sixth round in drafts. The talk is that he will open the season as the team's DH and will rotate into those outfield spots. How much will he play early on? That is the question. Scott, I'll throw it over to you. People are drafting Wyatt Langford like he's going to be an everyday player. Do you see it playing out like that?
Yes, the Rangers do have a full outfield already, but that was why Wyatt Langford might not make the team. That he's already made the team, I don't think there's much question about his playing time. They decided to have him on the opening day roster because they decided they couldn't live without his bat. So they're not going to live without his bat. The DH spot is open. Now, how they manage their outfield, because I don't think they just want to confine Wyatt Langford to DH forevermore. They want him to continue to develop as an outfield. So how they rotate players through that spot is going to be interesting to see. But Langford's going to play. He's going to play every day. And I think he's going to play well. He was getting drafted inside the top 100, inside the top 80. By the end of draft season, and that's about as high as I think could be justified. But given his performance in the minors, you know, he was drafted just last year, but hit 10 home runs in 44 games and 1157 OPS, just completely steamrolled the entire minor league system for the Rangers. I think he's the real deal.
Chris, do you think this could affect anyone else on the Texas Rangers? Because we know Evan Carter has had some issues with splits against left-handed pitching in the minors. I believe he didn't have a single extra base hit against lefties last season. Do you think maybe this could affect Evan Carter's playing time at all, Wyatt Langford being on the opening day roster?
I think if Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford hit like they're supposed to, it's not going to be them who are losing playing time. What will happen is, like, this Sunday, one or maybe both of them will get a day off and everyone will freak out because that's what we do. But I think these two guys are basically everyday players. If Evan Carter can't hit lefties, that problem solves itself because they will likely bench him if it's becoming a detriment to the team. But as long as these two who are top 20 prospects in baseball, now obviously Evan Carter already proven at the major league level was hitting third and fourth in their lineup when they were making their World Series run. I think as long as these two guys hit, they're going to play pretty much every day. It's one of those, like, it'll figure itself out. Maybe Ezekiel Duran doesn't play as much. We don't really care that much about that, though, you know?
Yeah, and looking at the depth chart right now, it's not like they have a ton of options on the bench to take Evan Carter out of the lineup, even against lefties, if they wanted to do that. So I'm in agreement here. I think Langford and Carter will all play. Obviously, they have Adolis Garcia, Leody Taveras expected to man center field. He's a great defender, and I think they want that defense, and they value that very much so in center field. Scott, we all know you're a Braves fan. You're rocking the Braves jersey in studio. Spencer Strider led baseball with 281 strikeouts last season. The next closest, Kevin Gausman with 237. The problem for Strider is that he had a 3.86 ERA. He showed up this spring. He's been showing off a new curveball that he's been using. The results have been awesome. Do you think there's another level that Spencer Strider can get to this year?
Yes and no. I think he can get to the level he should have been at last year, if that makes sense. So you mentioned he had the 3.86 ERA. Well, that's compared to a 3.09 expected ERA, a 2.85 FIP, a 2.92 XFIP. All the ERA estimators had him around 3. The actual ERA was closer to 4. And so what I think this curveball is going to do for Spencer Strider is just limit some of the predictability there that caused him to have these runaway innings at times last year, where he would be just unhittable for 5-6 innings and then things would kind of fall apart. And that's why the ERA ended up so high. I don't know that it's going to improve his strikeout ability. I mean, he was a distant first this spring in strikeouts, but the actual K per nine rate was identical to what he had in 2023. I just think it's going to give him a different look, a different velocity band that's going to allow him to sustain that elite level deep into games.
Chris, we know the injury bug pops up every spring training, and that was the case in multiple bullpens this year. The Diamondbacks, the Brewers, and the Minnesota Twins. For the D-backs, Paul Sewald has an oblique injury, and he's going to be out probably the first 4 to 6 weeks. For the Brewers, Devin Williams, all-star closer, will miss 3 months with a back injury. And for the Twins, Yoan Duran also has an oblique injury, probably going to miss the first month or so there. Run through each bullpen here for me. Who do you think is next up for the D-backs, the Brewers, and the Twins?
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks last year, it seemed like every episode of the FBT podcast, we were talking about the Diamondbacks bullpen and who the closer was going to be until they traded for Sewald. Now it seems a little more clear because Kevin Ginkle did, you know, separate from the pack as the season went on. He was really good as a setup man in their own World Series run. So I would guess it's going to be Kevin Ginkle. The problem with this discussion, though, is the most valuable situation for fantasy is also the one that we just have no idea, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. Devin Williams, I mean, I think they're probably the worst of these three teams in terms of their quality, but this is a team that's had a lot of save opportunities over the past few seasons. They've really stuck with one guy, but it's a new manager, and it's a wide-open situation. There's Yoel Piamps, who was the primary setup man, the primary high-leverage guy behind Josh Hader last year, but he doesn't get the strikeouts that the other guys do. Abner Uribe has incredible stuff, hits triple digits routinely, also doesn't necessarily know where the ball is going all the time. And then Trevor McGill's kind of viewed as the dark horse, but I was reading an article on Brewers.com by David Adler, one of their beat writers, and he thinks Trevor McGill might be the guy to get the first save for the Brewers. So it's a wide open situation. It's super frustrating. I think the problem is all three of these guys are more than good enough to hang on to a closer's job. So it might just be whoever gets that first opportunity just takes the opportunity and runs with it. My money's been on Yoel Piamps, but I'm kind of waffling on that with the longer we go without them naming him the closer. And then for the Twins, Griffin Jacks versus Brock Stewart, I think they're both fine options. I think they can both get the job done. I'm kind of leaning towards Brock Stewart. The strikeout upside he showed last season, I think it was above 12 per nine in his return to the majors. So I think that's the way I would go, but it certainly wouldn't shock me if Griffin Jacks was the closer for the Twins.
You know, Rocco Baldelli, the Twins manager, before he really settled on Yoan Duran last year, he was about as committed to the committee as any manager could be. So of the three situations, Diamondbacks, Brewers, Twins, the Twins is the one that I'm least confident we'll see them settle on one eventually. By the time Brock Stewart or Griffin Jacks emerges, Yoan Duran's probably going to be ready to go again. So I would be the least invested in that closer situation of the three.
This next one is a Chris Towers special. Giancarlo Stanton, he's come in. He's slimmer in spring training, which is good. Hopefully it takes some of the pressure off the legs. You know, last year it was tough just trying to watch him run around the bases. And we know that he's dealt with constant injuries. He does have a three home run game this spring. They all came against Marco Gonzalez. So maybe a little asterisk next to those home runs. But Stanton has basically been left for dead in fantasy baseball drafts. The ADP is 223.4. Chris, did Giancarlo Stanton's offseason work pay off?
I knew we couldn't get through a Chris Towers provided segment without a discussion about Giancarlo Stanton. Chris, get over him already.
I will never get over Giancarlo Stanton. Look, the thing about Giancarlo Stanton is, as much as he has regressed as he's hit his 30s and he's become a really poor athlete, this guy still hits the ball harder than basically anyone in baseball, as consistently as anyone in baseball. The problem for Giancarlo Stanton the last couple of years in particular has been the batting average has just been really, really low. Defenders know they can step almost back to the infield or outside of the infield dirt and still throw him out if he hits a grounder. So the batting average has been really tough, and that's what he focused on this offseason. He was doing yoga, working on flexibility, and trying to just get a little bit more of that athleticism that he's lost as he's aged. He looked noticeably slimmed down when he arrived at camp. So I'm not saying we're going to see another MVP season from Giancarlo Stanton, but with how hard he still hits the ball, I think there's still one more like 40 homer big season left. It might come with a 240 batting average, but in that Yankees lineup, I think that upside is still there, and it's easier to bet on when it costs you nothing.
I mean, I guess that's true, but we've heard all this before, right? I mean, last offseason, it was him flipping tires for his workout, right? Oh, this is going to be what gets him back to the Giancarlo MVP level that we all remember. And I don't know, maybe these this conditioning work that he did is going to be the key to unlocking it. But, you know, one three-homer game in spring training, we already knew he hit the ball hard, like you said. So I don't know.
Scott,
I'm a world weary.
No evidence, just vibes.
Just vibes. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know. Consider me a Stanton skeptic at this point, I guess is all I'm saying.
Let's wrap up the segment with the Tigers pitching staff. And mentioned earlier, Tarek Skubal. We'll be talking about him a little bit later on as well. Lots of hype for these pitchers right now. Velocity is up in spring training. Tarek Skubal being drafted as a top 15 starting pitcher in fantasy. Jack Flaherty signed a one-year deal this offseason. He's looked great this spring. Casey Mize, a former top prospect and first overall pick. We haven't seen him pitch since 2022 because of Tommy John surgery. His velocity is also up. Just had another great start yesterday in spring training. Scott, talk to me about this Tigers pitching staff. Can they live up to the hype?
Well, I think Tarek Skubal certainly can. After he returned from injury last year through 80 innings, among pitchers with at least 80 innings, he was far and away the leader in expected ERA and FIP. Great strikeout rate, great walk rate, great stuff all around. Spoiler alert, we'll get to it later. He's my Cy Young pick for the AL. But what about the rest of the Tigers staff? So Jack Flaherty has been an ace in fantasy before, and his velocity is way up. As you said, Casey Mize, former number one overall pick, his velocity was way up. Matt Manning, who didn't even make the team because they had so many pitchers performing well this spring, another highly regarded prospect once upon a time who didn't live up to it, but his velocity was up. I know Casey Mize worked on a slider that was emerging as a swing and miss pitch this spring. The Tigers have a pitching coach, Chris Fetter, young guy, seems to be a rising star among pitching coaches, has been getting a lot of good pub. And based on the way these guys look this spring, the Tigers might be a surprise contender this year if they can keep it up, if it isn't just a spring mirage. I think they have enough options to turn to if one falters that could be exciting. I've been especially excited about Jack Flaherty lately, given his history as a fantasy standout. The fact that he's throwing as hard as he did in 2019 when he placed fourth in NL Cy Young voting. It's been a long time since we've cared about Jack Flaherty in fantasy, but it may be time to start again.
I love the Tigers hype. Scott, I may or may not already have a future bet in on the Tigers to win the AL Central, so I'm hoping that comes to fruition. Let's take another break. Up next, we have season-long player props here on Fantasy Baseball Today, CBS Sports Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into Fantasy Baseball Today. We will have season-long player props coming up in just a bit, but some breaking news regarding opening day. The Phillies and Braves, the Mets and Brewers have been postponed, and they will play on Friday. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news. The good news is that we will have day baseball on Friday. The bad news is that we won't have a game on opening day until 3:05 p.m. Eastern time. That will be between the Angels and the Orioles. Let's talk some player props. And this is tough because A, the baseball season is so long, and B, health is such an important factor. I've got 10 names picked out. We'll see how many of these we can get to. We'll do a little rapid fire and start things off with O'Neal Cruz. We mentioned him earlier. The over-under for home runs this season, 24.5. Chris, we'll start with you. Which way are you going with O'Neal Cruz?
I think you got to go over. It's kind of similar to what we saw early on in draft season when O'Neal Cruz was a real discount because he was coming off last season where he only played 9 games, had that fractured ankle. It was, you know, his price was a lot more reasonable than it ended up being. And I think this is a situation where because we haven't seen a full season from O'Neal Cruz, it's hard to know exactly what to expect, but his 162 game pace over the course of what he's done so far is 32 homers. He's got plenty of raw power. He's got 45 homer raw power. So it's just a question of how much contact does he make? How healthy does he stay? As long as O'Neal Cruz is there, I think he's going to get to 30 homers.
Scott, O'Neal Cruz has 19 career home runs in 98 games. Are you going over under 24.5?
Going over.
All right, let's slide over to Juan Soto, who's now with the New York Yankees. The over-under is 35.5 home runs. He's coming off a career-high 35 home runs last year, and he's been healthy. He's played 151-plus games 3 years in a row. We know Yankee Stadium has that short porch. Juan Soto typically sprays the ball to all fields. Scott, over to you. Over-under 35.5 home runs for Juan Soto.
Yeah, this is a closer call, but given the upgrade in venue, I mean, you kind of go more from one end to the other than Petco Park to Yankee Stadium, particularly for a left-handed hitter, even though he sprays it to all fields. I think he's going to set a career high in home runs this year, so I'll take over.
Chris, where are you going? Juan Soto, 35.5 home runs.
You know, we say that the Yankee Stadium's a better park for home run hitters than Petco Park, and for most players, especially most lefties, it should be. Using expected home runs on Baseball Savant, though, he would have 53 home runs if he played every game at Yankee Stadium. He'd have 61 in Petco. So that's kind of surprising. I'm going to go under here. I think Juan Soto is going to have an incredible season, 250-plus combined runs in RBI, all that stuff. I think it's going to be more like 34 homers, though.
All right, Ronald Acuña last year led baseball with 73 stolen bases. His previous high was 37. We do know that there were new rules in baseball, which, you know, helped enhance those stolen base totals. And the over-under here is 53.5. Scott, which way are you going? Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, it seems pretty generous. I understand there was the meniscus injury, but it's he was cleared. He's better now. It shouldn't be something that plagues him. He relished the new rules to encourage more stolen bases last year more than any other player. I think he'll take advantage again. Taking the over again.
Chris, over to you. 53.5 stolen bases for Ronald Acuña. What are we thinking?
I'm taking the over, but this one's a little iffier. He didn't attempt to steal in the spring. You know, it was only 12 games, so who knows? It's not like Ronald Acuña has to prove anything, but I do feel like it might be, you know, 73 is probably not going to happen again. That's asking a lot. It might be closer to 50, though. I'll take the over, but it's a little tenuous.
Spencer Strider last year led baseball with 281 strikeouts, 13.5 K per nine or higher each of the past two seasons. He gets tons of swinging strikes as well. Chris, pitcher season-long props are a little bit tougher. Yeah. There's so many injuries to pitchers every single year. The number 245.5 over-under for Spencer Strider's strikeouts.
I mean, how many innings would he need to hit 245? Like 150? Is that being too generous? I think you absolutely take the over on this. Any pitcher can get healthy or can get hurt. Obviously, ones who throw 99 miles an hour especially can get hurt. But everything we've seen is this is arguably the preeminent strikeout pitcher in baseball history. You're talking about 38-37% strikeout rates. That's elite closer numbers. So, yeah, I think you take the over here.
Scott, got the Braves jersey on. Are we going with the homer pick over?
I mean, I agree over. The only reason you'd bet under is you're betting on him to get hurt, and that doesn't seem like something I want to bet on.
Let's hit one more here. Pete Alonso of the New York Mets, 41.5 home runs is the number. He's coming off 46 home runs last year. He hit 53 as a rookie back in 2019, entering a contract year, which kind of changes some things. Maybe he's traded midseason if the Mets are out of it. Scott, over under 41.5 home runs for Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at his history, it seems like another case where if I'm not expecting him to hit 42 home runs, it's because I'm expecting him to get hurt. I don't know. It's probably the right over under. I'll take the under just because I said over for all the others, but I'm taking the under as in he hits 41 home runs. How about that?
Chris, as somebody who already bet the over on this, I'm pretty excited about Pete Alonso this season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is an easy over for his career. It's taken him about 149 games to hit 42 homers for his pace. So I think we're in line for, I think, a 50 homer season from Pete Alonso. That's the flag I'm planting.
Yes, yes. Good news for me. Let's take our final break. On the other side, we have our award predictions and World Series picks right here on Fantasy Baseball Today, CBS Sports Network.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back into Fantasy Baseball Today. Let's wrap up the show with award predictions and our World Series pick. First up, we've got the Rookie of the Year. Chris, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, I was looking last year at our season predictions, and Corbin Carroll and Gunnar Henderson were the chalk picks. And guess who won Rookie of the Year? Let's not overcomplicate it. Let's not overthink it. We've got an AL hitter who has just put up like 1170 OPSs at every single level since he was a sophomore in college. Wyatt Langford's the AL Rookie of the Year. And then we've got a pitcher who some people might say, oh, he doesn't count as a rookie. He counts as a rookie. He just got the biggest contract in the history of baseball for a pitcher. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is the NL Rookie of the Year. Don't overthink it.
All right, well, my NL pick is Jackson Chourio, who I already talked about, but I think he's being overlooked relative to Wyatt Langford. Those two are similar in terms of upside. I'm going with Evan Carter for the AL over Langford because I think he brings more defensive value, and his on-base skills, in addition to that, are going to lead to a higher WAR. I think, than Wyatt Langford. So even though Langford will be better for fantasy, I'm guessing Evan Carter edges him out from a real life standpoint.
Chris, love the picks. We're in agreement. Wyatt Langford in the American League, Yoshinobu Yamamoto in the National League. Let's move over to Cy Young. And Scott, you've already alluded to your American League pick. Who you got?
Mm-hmm. Got Tarek Skubal. Supposed to be a surprise, but it seems like I'm not the only one picking him. And Spencer Strider. I think he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball by a long shot. And you could argue he was last year for fantasy, but I think it'll be even clearer this year.
Yeah, I'm right with you on Spencer Strider. I think the ERA is going to come right back down to 3. He's going to have the most strikeouts in baseball. It's an easy pick. AL is a little more difficult, but I am going to go with Corbin Burnes, who got traded to the Orioles. It's a great home park, a big improvement from where he was pitching in Milwaukee. Orioles pitchers, since they moved the fences back, have a 3.77 ERA at home compared to a 4.11 mark on the road. So I just think Corbin Burnes, we could see a 2.5 ERA and probably the second most strikeouts in baseball. I think I'll still take Spencer Strider, but Corbin Burnes is going to get a whole bunch of them.
All right, well, I agreed with Chris on my Rookie of the Year pick. Cy Young, I agree with you, Scott. Tarek Skubal in the American League, spoke about him earlier. Very excited to watch him this season. In the National League, I did want to change it up a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and take Zach Wheeler, who has a 3.08 ERA and a 1.08 whip since joining the Phillies back in 2020. Has one of the most dominant fastballs in all of baseball, and he's added a splitter this offseason. I do like Zach Wheeler. I like the Phillies. More on that in just a second. Let's move over to the MVP, and Chris, you can kick us off here.
Yeah, the easy pick is the chalk in the National League. Ronald Acuna, I think he's in that Mike Trout range where it's going to take something historic from someone else to knock him off. In the American League, I'm going with Juan Soto, who is the betting favorite. I wish I had the courage to go with Jose Ramirez, though. I think AL MVP is wide open. Jose Ramirez, Guardians, easy division. They've got a whole bunch of young talent. I kind of wish I had the courage to go with him, but I'll stick with Juan Soto. We're New Yorkers.
In complete agreement here, Juan Soto, AL, Ronald Acuna, NL.
Yep, for me, MVP, I'm going to go with Julio Rodriguez in the American League. Mookie Betts finished second in the NL MVP award voting last year. I think he gets it done this season with the Dodgers. World Series, Scott, I think we know who you're going with.
Got to go with the Braves. I'm not going too far out on a limb there. And then Orioles, this is who they're going to beat.
Dodgers over Astros for me.
And for me, I mentioned the Phillies. Zach Wheeler, I think, wins the Cy Young. I am taking a rematch of 2022. The Phillies get it done this time. Phillies over Astros in the World Series. You can follow all of us on Twitter. Follow Scott at CBS Scott White. Follow Chris at CTowerCBS. I am at Roto_Frank. That'll do it. Opening day is tomorrow. Exciting times. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. For Scott and Chris, I am Frank. Enjoy the baseball season and good luck with your fantasy teams.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.